My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. He represents the state's 9th Congressional District, and he is a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. The district that he represents in the southwestern part of the Old Dominion state is very rich in the coal industry, and it is that industry that is very concerned in the wake of new Environmental Protection Agency regulations introduced by the Obama administration this week that would mandate the reduction of carbon emissions from fossil fuel power plants by 30% by the year 2030. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you. Thank you.
Well, you've talked about your concerns about this before, but now we've got the actual hard numbers that the administration wants to pursue here. 30% reductions in 2030. What will that mean for your region of the country?
Well, for my region, it's going to be devastating immediately. We're going to have more job losses, more mines closing down. For the nation as a whole, it's also going to be devastating. It may take a little bit longer, but what will happen is that we will have less electricity available, and there's going to be greater costs as companies go to build new facilities to try to meet these new demands on carbon dioxide. A lot of times people think of it as soot. It's actually the carbon dioxide, the same stuff we breathe out, that they're trying to regulate. And that is, it's going to be very difficult for the American family to pay those increased electric bills. And it's going to be hard on the American industry, so it's going to cost jobs and hurt middle-class families. And I found it very interesting that Gina McCarthy said that those critics who say that your electric rates will skyrocket are wrong, because we actually got that line from President Obama in his interview with the San Francisco Chronicle in 2008, when he said, my plan, my energy plan, will necessarily cause electric rates to skyrocket.
Is there any way for the coal industry to be able to comply with what the EPA wants to do here?
There is a way to do it. In about 10 or 15 years, I believe the technology will be there. Unfortunately, the states have to come up with a plan to reduce this carbon dioxide output in the next 2 years, and you can't plan on technology that is not yet available.
Why do you think the administration picked these numbers, and if, in fact, it is going to have this sort of impact on the coal industry, why do you think the administration's okay with that?
Well, I don't think the administration really cares about the coal industry, and I think they disregard a lot of facts when it comes to how this will impact middle-class Americans. They have shown a callous disregard for the folks in Central Appalachia, the area that I represent and others, and it just doesn't seem that they care. Their numbers are almost always wrong. You know, they told us that when they did the utility map, another set of regulations relating to coal usage in utilities, that we would lose around, you know, like 10 megawatts of power capacity. We've actually lost about 62 by the end of this year. It's going to impact our grid and our grid system. And they just don't seem to care about the real numbers and the real impact on the middle-class American.
One of the numbers I've seen this week is that at least 40% of the nation's electricity comes directly from coal production. You might have a more specific number. What do you think is actually going to be the change in electricity rates across the country, particularly those who get it from coal-fired power plants?
Well, I think it's going to be extremely high. There's going to be no question about that. Most people don't understand that the electric industry is a controlled monopoly, a regulated monopoly. And so when there's a requirement to build a new facility, that comes directly out of the pockets of the customers, whether it be a manufacturer that uses a lot of electricity to produce a product, which, of course, creates jobs, or whether it's the homeowner. They have to pay for that new facility being built. So when lots of coal facilities are being shut down and new facilities are being built using whatever fuel source you want, then it's going to cost the consumer a lot of money. And remember, even switching to natural gas won't solve the complete problem, because that, too, is a carbon fuel. And so there's going to be a real question as to, you know, this is just another wave in this war on coal. If we don't have a change in policies in Washington, what's the next wave going to be, and how much more devastating will that be? So this is devastating. Prior regulations have hurt, and who knows what they'll come up with next.
Do you have any hard numbers? We use the president's term, electricity rates will necessarily skyrocket. Are we talking double, triple? What kind of estimates are out there?
I don't think at this point we have any numbers that I can give you that are hard. I can just tell you that every time a plant closes and there has to be a new plant built to meet American demands, that costs the consumer money. And it gets passed on directly, dollar for dollar, right across the board from the utility company to the consumer. And so it's going to be fairly significant in those regions that have been heavily dependent on coal, but it will also impact others. As the price of electricity goes up, it is a commodity that can be wheeled from one region to another. So it's going to cause issues nationwide.
Let me have you respond to arguments we see pretty frequently from the president's side of this debate. Number one is that, yes, this could be very difficult economically for certain parts of the country, but we have a climate catastrophe waiting for us if we don't take steps to limit our contribution to the greenhouse gases. Obviously, many disagree with the science behind that, but what do you say in response to his argument on that front?
Well, you don't even have to get into the fight on the science. What you look at is this. Is the rest of the world going to do the same thing? And the answer is, if they aren't, and I don't believe they will, notwithstanding China staying this week, they would try to do something. But if the rest of the world doesn't do the same thing, what we're doing is we're killing jobs in the United States, sending those jobs to the rest of the world. They continue to use coal. They continue to use coal without even the reasonable regulations we had in effect before this administration took over. And when they do that, they're creating a greater pollution problem and a greater problem across the board for the world. And we share this air. It's not like we have a bubble over the United States. We just have to solve our problem. The problem is, whatever it may be, whether it's SOx, NOx, mercury, or carbon dioxide, for those who feel that's a problem, it's a worldwide situation. And if all we're doing is shifting the jobs to Asia, they're going to ship us back dirty air in exchange for the jobs that we've lost.
Congressman, another argument they often put out there is that, well, this is a changing economy. We've lost a lot of manufacturing jobs. This is one other area that's got to change if we're going to compete well in the 21st century. Do you buy that argument at all?
I don't buy that argument. Coal is going to continue to be a valuable resource worldwide. It's going to be something that the countries, particularly in the emerging economies, are going to continue to use. And it is a world economy. The economy is changing. The United States can't just do whatever it thinks is right and expect to compete against the rest of the world. We are putting ourselves at a competitive disadvantage with regulations that don't make sense. And keep in mind, in just a few years, I believe that we are going to have the science that will help us. That's where the efforts ought to be being made, is speeding up the new scientific research so that we can burn the coal that we have an abundance of in a cleaner fashion. That makes a lot of sense. Pushing these regulations before the science is ready does not make sense. It's illogical, and it's going to hurt middle-class America. It's going to cost us jobs and make our cost of living go up.
You were elected in 2010, and one of the issues I'm sure that was front and center in that campaign was the cap-and-trade agenda of the president and the incumbent Democrat and his position on that issue. Now that the president has decided to go around Congress and do this simply through EPA regulations, what options do you legitimately have left to realistically change course here, or do you just have to watch it happen?
Hopefully we will win the Senate this year. Those of us who are anti-cap and traders and understand that American jobs are important will win elections and we'll take over the Senate. There are some Democrats who agree with us, but there are only a few. And when we get control of the Senate, we then have the power to set aside regulations with a majority vote of the House and the Senate. That's what we need to do. The American people need to understand that elections have consequences. And if they don't want to see jobs lost and electric rates going through, as the president himself said, skyrocketing, then we need to change the Senate. To change Washington, we've got to change the Senate.
Would that still require presidential signature?
No, we can set that aside without the president's signature.
Congressman, we will certainly stay on top of this issue. We know it's a vital issue for you and your district. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith represents the state's 9th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.